Blog Talk Radio.
TJB Radio. Intriguing programs you want, information you need.
And with that lovely theme, welcome to the Jeff Bushman Experience. Oddly enough, I'm Jeff Bushman. Good afternoon if you're in the Mountain Time Zone. Good evening, or I guess it's afternoon pretty much everywhere else if you are listening live. If you're not listening live, how would I know what time it is? Anyway, welcome to the program of this weekly extravaganza we do for 30 minutes. On today's show, or tonight's show, we are going to be discussing, among other things, the semi-original Washington's birthday, which is today, ISIS in Libya, a test for racism and homophobia that you can take yourself on the program live today, or again, in recorded edition if you're listening to the podcast. And we're going to tell you about a democratic organization which you could either join or just look at their website, something very interesting for listeners of this show. Although what I'm going to talk about in terms of ISIS will suggest that I don't agree entirely with them. That said, welcome. If you are a first-time or 17th-time listener, let me invite you to take a look, especially if you're thinking of buying something at Amazon or shopping in any way. excuse my voice. It's still getting over that dreaded flu. If you are thinking of shopping at Amazon, please go first to bushmanbooks.blogspot.com. And click on the Amazon banner there, assuming you don't have a banner blocker on your browser. And when you shop at Amazon, if you should buy something, we get a couple of pennies, and it doesn't cost you anything extra. So if you'd be kind enough to do that, that's a way of helping support the show without it costing you anything, and thank you for that. By the way, at that same site, bushmanbooks.blogspot.com, you can also take a look at the books that we've written and uploaded to the Amazon site as ebooks, and included are a mystery novel, a book on mobile home investment, and a book which is a compilation of our early columns in Scottsdale Health Magazine. And the book is called Amusing Sex, Funny Sex. The other books are called The Mobile Millionaire and Bobby's Been Shot. And if that doesn't interest you enough, good grief, I don't know what will. All right. We alluded to the fact that this is the semi-original Washington's birthday on the day of our broadcast. We are doing the show live on February 22nd, 2015. And why is it the semi-original birthday of George Washington? Well, today is not President's Day. President's Day was celebrated or observed on February the 16th. Which is a means of not giving an extra holiday to government employees. What happened was in most states, when the Martin Luther King holiday came in, they decided to eliminate either one of the days that we got in February for Washington's birthday and Lincoln's birthday. Originally, those were two holidays. We got both of them if you were a school student. You got off of school for both of those days. And if you were not, if you were a government employee, you typically got off both of those days. In order to avoid 2 days off in the same month and not give an extra holiday for Martin Luther King, what sense this makes, I don't know, except in terms of saving government money, and also not giving appropriate tribute to Dr. King, they combined Lincoln and Washington and decided to make it a tribute to all presidents, which is obviously a mistake, because not all presidents deserve any tribute. And if you disagree, look up Rutherford B. Hayes, James Buchanan, and Millard Fillmore. And while you're at it, perhaps George W. Bush. That's what we have is President's Day. But originally, Lincoln's birthday, February 12th, and Washington's birthday was observed February 22nd, and we all grew up learning that February 22nd was Washington's birthday, and it sort of was. Back when Washington was alive, and I don't mean the city, I mean the president, when Washington was alive, England and much of Western Europe converted from the Julian calendar, named after Julius Caesar. Also, by the way, Julius Caesar is the person after whom July is named. And if you're interested in this, and why would you be, August was named after his son, Augustus Caesar. Okay, and September, being the ninth month of the year, is named September because the root word sept, S-E-P-T, means seven. I'll leave you to figure that out later. But in any event, Washington's birthday. When we converted from the Julian, named after Julius Caesar, to the Gregorian, named after Pope Gregory, calendar, they lost some days. The reason they converted the calendar systems is because the old Julian calendar had a problem in terms of losing minutes and seconds and ultimately days after a sufficient time, such that the calendar was not in conformity with the Earth's rotation around the sun, or the Earth spinning. So what they did was they changed calendaring system. Now we lose very little time with our current calendar. They just recently added a leap second to make up for a loss. But that's basically the situation. So when the conversion took place, we went right from, we skipped about 13 or 14 days. When I say we, I wasn't there, but just in terms of the societies. And they, when they changed that, people whose birthdays were within that month of February, that's the month in which we lost days, who were then living, had the option of keeping their original date, and I believe Washington's original date was February 9th, or converting to the day it would be in the new calendar. And Washington chose to go with February 22nd, though he was actually born on February 9th. So there you are. And therefore, this is only a semi-original Washington's birthday. Lincoln, in contrast, by the time he was born, this whole system had changed and everything was okay. He didn't have to make that choice. One day, one program, what I'm going to do is I'm going to do a program that I will call Connections. And the connections to which I'm referring are the connections that people have, well, not the people, but I mean is going to be the connection, connections that exist among various things. That is going from one thing to another, kind of like, and this reminds me of. That's not what we're doing today, but I only mentioned that because I was stricken with the possibility of talking about Lincoln and the Lincoln penny and why the changes have been made in the Lincoln penny on different anniversaries of his birth. But that's for another day. I will share with you that the other day I was at a group meeting and we started talking about old TV shows and we started making connections between TV shows and history and individuals. It just went nuts. And so sometime we may do that on the program. By the way, I did not give you the telephone number to call in should you wish to do that. If you are obviously not listening to the live program, you can't. But if you are, you can call in at area code 347-850-8702. And particularly if you're listening from another country, obviously you have to dial the U.S. country code. But after that, again, area code 347-850-8702. Since no one pays for long distance anymore, I won't bother talking about that. But happy sort of birthday, George Washington, wherever you are. He died, by the way, in 1799. Why I remember that, I have no idea. We are also talking today briefly about ISIS in Libya. There's some interesting things happening in terms of that issue. It may not sound like an issue, but it is. First off, ISIS recently in Libya killed a number of Coptic Christians from Egypt. Egypt responded by bombing some of the ISIS sites. And we've, of course, been bombing ISIS sites in Syria and in Iraq. That was Iraq, by the way. But the reality is, while it's probably been doing some good, it hasn't been doing an enormous amount of good. But the reason for the concern, although ISIS does not have a lot of people, apparently, in Libya, they do have a contingent there, and clearly they could add more. Let's talk about Libya for a minute. Libya, as you will remember, was a country that was liberated from Muammar Gaddafi by this country. We assisted the rebels who were seeking freedom from Gaddafi and his rather strange dictatorship. And we did do that, and then Libya has essentially devolved into a situation where there are two separate governments, each claiming legitimacy for the whole country. And it's, to put it bluntly, a bloody mess. So this is the kind of circumstance in which groups like ISIS or Al-Qaeda or the Taliban flourish. Pardon me. And they do that because there's no effective government to keep them in check. That's why the Taliban succeeded in Afghanistan when they did. That's part of the reason, it's not all of it. And why you have rebels in and extremist rebels in places like Nigeria in the form of Boko Haram, and excuse me, why Al-Qaeda has developed in those countries where there was no effective government. In any event, Libya is experiencing the same thing, and ISIS is there, but not in full strength. But why? There's a specific reason that's a concern. First off, we need to talk about Europe, Western Europe. The entire European community, which again consists primarily of Western Europe, developed not only to have a common currency, so there would be less what economists call friction and sales between countries, but also so people could work in those countries and have their businesses cross borders, because clearly it's an easier way to do business. And now if you have to go from, say, Italy to Spain or Spain to France, it is much, much easier than it is to, say, get from the United States to Mexico or back. So there's a rather large level of freedom of movement between Western European countries, between and among. So with Libya in a crisis and ISIS in Libya, if you look at a map of that part of the world, you'll understand why this is a concern, which hasn't been spoken about a great deal. But if you look at that map, you'll see it's just a little trek across the Mediterranean from Libya to get into Italy. And from Italy, that covers all of Europe. There is also the fact that although Italy would prefer not to do it anymore, they used to prefer to do it, they do take in people who reach their shores from across the Mediterranean. Originally, the belief was that all these people are fleeing persecution, and that's still certainly true in some cases, but my concern is that members of ISIS are going to cross the Mediterranean, get into Italy, and flood Western Europe. Therefore, and primarily for that reason, along with all the other horrible things that ISIS has been doing, and you've probably heard there was an article in Atlantic, which I've yet to read, but they talked about what ISIS really wants. What ISIS really wants is essentially an end of civilization, an end of humanity. They're, like many extremist Christians, they see themselves bringing what are called the end times, and where everyone will be, who accepts their God, whether it's the extreme Christians or the extreme Muslims, will go to heaven or paradise or get a bunch of virgins or whatever, and everybody else will be damned. So they're trying to bring that about, and the way they're bringing that about is by killing innocent people to whom they refer as infidels. So at this juncture, what I would respectfully suggest we need to do is we need to stop fearing the boots on the ground. We need to send, and I know a lot of people who generally share my opinions will disagree with me, but we need to actually put troops there. Yes, we can put troops that are Egyptian or Jordanian. Yeah, that's fine, or other members of the so-called coalition. But we also have to put some of our own. Special forces, yes, but also some actual military people. We need to get rid of these people. They really are a threat. When someone has as their goal beheading people, killing as many people as possible, which is different from the other groups that have preceded them in a real way, even different from Al-Qaeda, we need to do something. And talking about doing more bombing, which is, you know, a fine thing in this context, or sending drones or doing any of the rest of that, that's fine. But we also need to go ahead and put people on the ground to shrink their domain. We need to go ahead and attack them from the perimeter of where they are and reduce the size of where they are, bombing, shooting, whatever we have to do, because this cannot be allowed to continue. They cannot be allowed to continue to kidnap Westerners and get ransom from some countries and some families, and at the same time put a real monkey wrench into Western civilization. That's what they're doing, and we need to do something about it. If you have a better idea, be happy to hear about it, but we can't just say do nothing or just send in airstrikes and expect it to make an enormous difference. It will make some, but it's not going to shrink their domain, and that's what we have to do. Okay. Now comes the patented, not really, but patented racism and homophobia test. I'm going to give you the test, and you can take it. I'll come back to you. This is not a matter of right answers or wrong answers. There are, in fact, right answers and wrong answers, but the real purpose of the test is to demonstrate whether someone has racist tendencies or homophobic tendencies, and we'll come to that test in a moment. But first, let me tell you how, without the test, you can tell whether certain people are racists, okay? If you know somebody and who is a real sports fan and likes a number of sports, and I'm not a sports fan to speak of, and they tell you, you know, I really don't like basketball, but man, do I like hockey, assuming this person is white, it's kind of a hint. Now, you, and by the way, this does not apply, this particular test does not apply to Canadians. If you're Canadian and like hockey and don't care for basketball, that may mark you as Canadian, and it may even mark you as, and I don't know that it does, you may be strange in other ways, but it doesn't necessarily mean you're a racist. It just means you're Canadian, okay? Or I should say A. So if you like hockey and don't like basketball, you may be a racist. And the reason I say that, in case you don't know this about those two sports, is hockey is almost, you know, oh, I should have said hockey and golf. You know, I really like hockey and I really like golf, but I hate basketball. And speaking of golf, how do you like this new kid from South Africa or Australia? There are, I don't think, any African-American, I should say black in this case, I don't think there are any black golfers from South Africa on the PGA Tour, and if I'm wrong, I apologize. But there are some white ones from South Africa, and Australia, is since they don't have any Aboriginal golfers, I don't think, on the PGA Tour. If someone says that, they're really saying they like white guys. And hockey is an almost universally white sport. And basketball has a heavy, heavy proportion of black people who play. By the way, to the extent I like sports at all, it's only pro basketball. I do that essentially so I don't appear racist. No, but seriously, that's, and I swear to you, if you know somebody, and I do know somebody like that, where they don't like basketball. But if you ever accuse, that's the other thing, by the way, if you ever say to someone that they've said something that suggests racist leanings, what they're going to tell you is, me, especially if they're older, they're going to say something like, me a racist? That's impossible. Let me tell you what I did in 1947. That demonstrates that I'm not a racist, right? If they have to go that far back, they're a racist. Okay, now here's the test. Okay, now, before I tell you the test questions, I'm going to tell you that I have tested this test. I came up with it a number of years ago. Because I came up with it, obviously I'm biased in favor of the test, but I think it works. I tested this series of questions with some people who I knew were racist in other ways. I knew it in other ways that they were racist. And sure enough, they and homophobic. They answered in such a way as I thought they might. And so it's been proven fairly reliable. Nothing's universal, of course, except a studio in Hollywood. So here is the test. All right. Please give me your best estimate in terms of a percentage of the people in America, people in the United States, who are African American, or if you prefer, black. An estimate on the percentage of the population in America that is black. Next question. Please give me your estimate, your best estimate, your guess, if you will, of the number of people in the United States who are Jewish, the percentage of the population. I have one friend who I know is going to answer that one right, but and I hope he's listening. Again, that second question is the percentage of the population in the United States that is comprised of people who are Jewish. Third, and yay, final question. The percentage of men in America who you believe are gay, if you prefer a different word, homosexual. We're not going into the whole LGBT group, just gay men. The percentage of men in America who you think are gay. I know you don't know all the men in America, but your best estimate on the percentage. Okay? All right. I'm going to give you the answers in a second. I'm going to try to talk for a minute to give you a little more time, but I'm going to repeat the questions. Number one is the percentage of the U.S. population that you believe is African-American or black. Okay? Two, the percentage of the United States population that you believe is Jewish. And third, the percentage of the U.S. male population that you think is gay. Okay? All right. Here are the answers, first of all, and then I'll tell you what they mean. The percentage of the U.S. population that is African-American is about 11%, at least the last time I read it. The percentage of the U.S. population that is Jewish is 3%. And finally, the percentage of males in the United States that are gay, or is gay, I should say, is 10%, approximately. Okay, so that's 11%, 3%, and 10%. Okay, what do the answer? Whether you're right or wrong is really completely unimportant. And again, when you give this test to your friends, neighbors, and coworkers, if they're off a percentage or two, frankly, it doesn't matter. But here's what happens, and you will find this to be true. You can test this test yourself. Love to know what you think of it. And by the way, besides calling in next week to let us know the results of your test at 347-850-8702, and we do the show live on Sundays beginning at 6:30 p.m. Eastern time. You can also drop us a note if that's easier, TJB, Tom, John, Bob, TJBRadio@gmail.com. Here's what it means. If your percentage that you believe, and by the way, this is not uniform, if you believe that the population of the United States that is black is 30%, 40%, some really large number like that, that suggests that you think it's an enormous horde of people that is different from you. And this suggests some inkling or some tendency towards being racist, because what you're saying essentially is you fear this enormous number of African Americans, this enormous number of people who are different from you. Okay? When I say okay, I'm not asking for your approval or agreement. I'm telling you this is what the test generally shows. So if the numbers are significantly large, if they're smaller, it doesn't really mean anything. And if instead of 11%, you said 13% or 15%, no biggie. But if you're talking about 40%, 30%, this suggests you've got a problem. Okay? All right, next question. The number of population in the United States that you think is Jewish. The actual number is 3%. That's right, 3%. Now, you can be forgiven if you went up as high as maybe 10. But if you think the number, again, is 30, 40, or 50, it means a couple of things. Number one, you've been watching the Oscars too long. No, one of the things that it could mean, and that it suggests, I should say, is that you think the population in the United States of Jews is bigger. Again, if you got a somewhat larger number, but not an enormously larger number, then it's just a matter of lack of knowledge, and that's perfectly okay. But if you think it's a much larger number, you think it's 20%, 25%, 30%, 50%, this suggests that you are one of those people who on an unconscious level thinks that Jews control America. Okay, because the numbers are large, because Jews seem to be prominent everywhere. Yeah, right. The reality is Jews are not prominent everywhere, and you have a problem with them, and especially if you also answered with a very large number on African-Americans, again, you have a problem. The third number, in terms of gay men, the percentage of men in America who are gay, here's a little surprise for you. People who tend towards homophobia, and by the way, racism and homophobia, they tend to go together. Not uniformly true, but mostly true. People who are homophobic tend to be also racist. I know some of your best friends are gay. Got it. But anyway, and if not to mention the gay black Jewish guy. But the fact is that people who are homophobic tend to guess the number is lower. They'll say 1% or 3%. It's 10%. That's a pretty broadly accepted number, and nobody knows that absolutely, by the way, but it's a pretty broadly accepted number among people who are conscious and don't have a problem about gay people. the reason they have a tendency to think the number is lower is because they want to delude themselves into thinking that we don't have to do anything in terms of giving gay people or establishing for gay people rights to employment, rights to being served. And I don't mean the way I serve people with legal papers. I mean served at restaurants, hotels, and so forth. They, because the numbers are so low, we don't really need to give them any special rights. Okay? All right. And the bottom line is you're not talking about special rights. You're talking about normal human rights, the same rights everybody else has. But they don't want to bother with that because the percentage is so low, they have themselves convinced. So if the percentage of gay men in your survey, if you will, is 1%, 2%, 3%, that suggests a problem. I'm not suggesting that you are latently homosexual. Far be it from me. I am saying, however, that you have a problem with gay men, and maybe gay women too, but you have a problem with that, and you should be aware of it. I'm not, again, I don't think that most of this, our audience, will be in that category. But when you give this test to other people, I can almost guarantee you that your assumptions will be proven right. If you think someone is homophobic and or racist, give them this test, you will demonstrate it to yourself. The bigger problem you're going to have is explaining to them what it means. Okay, we have about 3.5 minutes left. Half hours go very quickly. Wanted to mention a couple of things to you. Number one, we talked about things you can do in America to make the world a better place. I hope some of you have contacted your registrar of voters or county recorder to see about becoming deputy registrars. It's easy, it doesn't cost you anything, and will allow you to register people so we can have better state legislatures and more correctly drawn congressional districts. Just to give you an example of why this is important, in the 2000 and I'm not sure if it's true of 2014, but it probably is pretty close. But certainly in the 2012 election, more than a million more people voted for Democrats as members of the House than voted for Republicans. More than a million more voted for Democrats rather than Republicans than voted for Republicans, and the Republican Party gained a majority in the House. The only way that can happen is if the districts of House members or House districts are drawn to favor that party. And they were so drawn. And the reason they were so drawn is because after the 2000 census, when districts are required by the Constitution to be redrawn, the legislatures were controlled by Republicans. A significant number of legislatures across the country were controlled by Republicans and still are. Right now, for example, we have something like, just in terms of governors, we have 35 Republicans and 15 Democrats. Legislatures pretty much reflect that, too. We can change that, but only if we get more Democrats registered. Okay, so please do that if you are inclined and have any spare time at all. Also, you may want to look at a website I saw today for the Progressive Democrats of America. If you're interested in, it really looks like a really interesting website, although they disagree with me on how to handle ISIS. But overall, very, very good. The website is P as in Progressive, D as in Democrat, America.org. That's PDAmerica.org. Okay? Take a look at that and let us know what you think if you can. Otherwise, just enjoy and join us next week if you would. Today is February 22nd, so that'll be March the 1. Join us if you will. In the meantime, I hope you enjoyed yourselves with this program. Tell a friend if you did. Please be kind to each other, and although you are going away right now, please, please, please don't you go away mad. Thanks very much. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.